Welcome to the Courageous Recovery Broadcast. I'm your host, Randy Mortensen. This is a weekly 20 to 25 minute program where we provide answers for your I don't know how. Whether you're dealing with recovery issues, emotions from a loss, or maybe life has just thrown you one more curveball than you were expecting, it's so glad to have you here. During this episode, I'm going to cover some of the positive and maybe not so positive points of step seven in the faith-based recovery programs. And this is a vitally important step for each and every one of us who are in recovery. So it's so great to see that we have people joining this broadcast from coast to coast and literally from around the globe. I think at last count, we were at 23 or 24 foreign countries. And thank you for taking time from your busy schedules to connect. And depending on what platform you're watching or listening to this on, if there's a subscribe button, please click subscribe. And if there's an area for you to leave comments or chat, we just love seeing any of those sorts of that feedback and questions. For more information about my personal executive recovery program, you can go to randymortensen.com. That's Randy, last name Mortensen, M-O-R-T-E-N-S-E-N.com. And when you go to that website, you will find a 21-point assessment. That's a tool to determine whether you or a loved one qualifies for one of my programs called the Lifestyle Champion Cohort. So without taking more time with introductions, let's just jump into the deep end of the pool and really talk about the substance of step seven. And I titled this, I taught a similar lesson within the last couple of weeks here in Central Florida, Quest 180. And I titled the lesson, But God, because many would say that but God are the two best words in the whole Bible. And they are two of the sweetest words in all the scripture. There's no question about that. And yes, that's a bold claim. But by the time you get to step seven, you've already taken some major steps on the road to recovery. You admitted you had a problem and were powerless over it early on in the steps. You came to believe that God could and would help you. You sought him and turned your life and your will over to his care and direction. As you moved into step four and five, you wrote a spiritual inventory and shared that with God and another person. And then came step six and step seven. And those two steps cause many to ponder certain words that are there. One of those is submit. Another is two words, every change. And then there's remove. All those changes that God wants to make in my life, not that I want to make or my spouse or my parents or anyone else, but all those changes that God wants to make in my life. Most of us would rather voluntarily submit to having certain character defects removed, but some defects might be hard to give up, right? They might even have a certain element of fun or satisfaction or pleasure attached to them. So let's take a look at the biblical parallel for steps six and seven that are taken from the context of Matthew 5, verse 6. It says, "Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires." But listen to what is written in the Life Recovery Bible translation in Matthew 5, verse 6. "God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice or righteousness," it says in parentheses, "for they will be satisfied." God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. Interestingly enough, in my daily Bible reading plan just a few days ago, this past Sunday, it was very fitting as I was beginning to plan for this lesson on step seven. That verse of the day was Hebrews 10:36. And it says, "Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you'll receive all that he has promised." That really aligns so well. We desire to find release from our shortcomings by repenting of our sinful patterns. Then We can take positive steps by strengthening our healthy behavioral patterns and attitudes as our faith in God continues to mature. So I want to encourage you to be in regular prayer for those who are struggling with substance abuse worldwide, because there's been some unintended consequences of the COVID-19 lockdowns. 40 states in the United States have reported increases in drug overdoses, 40 out of 50 states. Be in regular prayer for the 270 million addicts worldwide. May God grant us in the church, we're the small C church, ladies and gentlemen, may God grant us supernatural strategies for life change. The use of some harm mitigation is cutting down the disease. There's no question about that, but it's sacrificing hope. There are programs like methadone or drug substitution or some other rehab that are still short of the real promise that God offers in Jesus Christ. That promise is you will be a new creation, and God desires for you to have life transformation. I stand up in front of many, many groups and I say, my name's Randy. God set me free from alcohol, and I'm a child of the King. The worldwide statistics are staggering. As I mentioned a minute ago, 270 million people worldwide suffer with substance abuse and destructive behaviors. 3.6 million people die from their addiction each year. That's 7 who die every minute, 420 every hour, and 10,080 die every day. I love to say this: God, send us your hope. Make us hope dealers. And as we briefly talked about when covering step 6, as you're considering what step 6 says, that you are entirely ready to have God remove all of your defects of character. You're at a place now with steps 6 and 7 where you say, I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to get rid of my pain and be done with those compulsive and destructive behaviors. But how do I do it? The good news is you don't do it. The good news is you don't do it. Step 6 doesn't read, you are entirely ready to have you remove all your defects of character, does it? No, it says you are entirely ready to have God remove all your defects of character. So how do you begin the process to have God make the positive changes in your life that you and He both desire? How do you begin that process? Well, if we bow down before the Lord and admit our dependence on Him, He will lift you up and give you honor. True contentment comes only when we submit our life to God and His program. As we admit our failures and humbly seek to do God's will, we will draw closer to God. And as we draw close to God, the grip of our dependency is going to weaken, and He will lift us up to rebuild our life. So how do you begin the process to have God make the positive changes in your life that you and He both desire? Well, as we look at step 7, we humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. As we're focused on step 7, we humbly ask Him to remove all our shortcomings. Guys and gals, this is a turning point in your recovery. While we've been focused earlier in the steps on stopping the progression of our deadly addictions and compulsions, we must now also let go of the spiritually dead traits that have kept us from being who God really wants us to be or who we really are. Humility is a key principle of step 7. As we get out of our own way, accepting that our ways of dealing with life's problems haven't worked, and turning to God for help and change, this is when the development of humility begins. Some of us tend to confuse humility with humiliation. We've been through a lot of humiliating experiences because of our poor choices. We've been humiliated by the consequences of addictions. That humiliation might have come from being in jail or experiencing business losses or broken relationships. Some have been humiliated in childhood. Most of us want to avoid being humiliated at all costs. So when the word humility is used here, many will not want to have anything to do with it. I want you to understand this. Humility is an attitude in which we see ourselves in a new light. We see the good and the bad parts, the honesty and the dishonesty, the weakness and the negativity. Humility, though, is not a sign of weakness. We become real with God and ourselves as we grow in humility. There's the key verse for step 7, and that verse is James 4:10. If, it starts out with if, we confess our sins, He is faithful and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on Him, He will lift you up and give you honor. True contentment comes only when we submit our life to God and His program. True contentment comes as we admit our failures and humbly seek to do God's will. We also draw closer to God in those moments. And as we draw close to God, that grip that our dependency has had on us will weaken, and He will lift us up to rebuild our life. God has a great desire to free us from our addictive behaviors and to clean up the resulting character defects. So how do you begin the process to have God make the positive changes in your life that you and He both desire? Well, as we look at closing out 2021, and I mentioned some of the statistics earlier, but as we close out 2021, the statistics are even worse than they were in 2020. Drug-related deaths have been up 29% over the past 12 months. There have been 100,306 drug-related deaths in the United States alone. Three quarters of those deaths were related to fentanyl. As a church, as the men and women, as the Christ followers who are the church, we have to be part of the solution. We have to be willing to help. Here in Central Florida, in this great county called Brevard County, we are 44% more likely to die due to drug overdose than an average American. Here in this county, on the Space Coast of Florida, there are currently 3 to 5 overdose deaths per week. Those stats show that there's a 3-to-1 ratio of males to females. But I started out tonight saying that this message is titled, But God. But God are two of the most wonderful and powerful words in the Bible, because holiness is not the way to Jesus. No, Jesus is the way to holiness. Just do a simple word search on any online Bible website or an app, and you'll find that good news always follows after, quote, but God. So you can see how the impossible becomes possible. For us, it is impossible. But for God, nothing is impossible. Depending on how you do your research, there are some that will say there are 31 but God verses. However, other biblical translations show that they actually tout that there are 43 verses where but God touts victory over the storms of life. And if you have time, and I hope you do, check out what is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And it starts out, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. And then I'm going to paraphrase and skip through this. Verse 3 then says, all of us used to live that way. And by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger. But then in verse 4, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life. And then verse 6 says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace. And then verse 8 starts out, but God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you and I can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. And verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, Paul's really affirming two essential truths related to recovery. Number one, we are all born with an evil nature and we're powerless to stand against our tendency towards sin and failure. The second is God is rich in mercy and love. And even though we are far from him and trapped by sin, God graciously reaches out to us. God wants to forgive us and give us the power to rebuild our lives. Through the work of Jesus Christ, God has already conquered the power of sin and death. When we admit that we need God's help and ask him to act on our behalf, God empowers us to overcome our problems and our dependency. The Bible says that we're to make an offering of our very selves to God. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. And then it goes on to say, dear brothers and sisters, this is in Romans 12, 1 through 1 and verses 1 and 2. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a holy and living sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let God in. Allow him to transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. When you accepted step 3, you made the most important decision of your life by choosing to turn your life over to God's will. That decision got you right with God. You accepted and were determined to follow his son, Jesus Christ, as your learned savior. Then you began to work on you. You made a fearless and moral inventory of yourself. The first step in any victory is to recognize the enemy. Early in my recovery, my inventory showed me that I was my greatest enemy. This wasn't immediately evident to me, but it was to others around me. My attitude sucked. My ego and pride were huge barriers. You and I, though, come through this and we came clean by admitting and confessing to ourselves, to God, and to another person our wrongs and our sins. In that moment, for probably the first time in your life, you were able to take off the rose-colored glasses of denial and look at reality with a clear and clean focus. So as we really take to heart Romans 12, 2, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Let God transform you, and then God's will be good and pleasing and perfect. To transform something means to change its condition, its nature, its function, its identity. God wants to change more than just our behaviors. He wants to change the way we think. Simply changing behaviors is like trimming the weeds in a garden instead of removing them. Weeds always grow back unless they're pulled out by the roots. We need to let God transform our minds. Your character defects were not developed overnight, so please don't expect them to be instantly removed. God is going to work on removing them. Recovery happens how? One day at a time. Your lifelong habits, those things you used to do over and over again, those thoughts and the things you used to say, need to be worked on in 24-hour increments. Once you ask God to remove your character defects, you begin a journey that will lead you to new freedom from your past. Once you ask God to remove your character defects, you begin a journey that will lead you to new freedom from your past. Please don't look for perfection. Instead, rejoice in the steady progress. What you need to seek is what the verse that I shared earlier really talks about. You need to seek patient improvement. So here's some additional words of encouragement from God's word in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You must voluntarily submit to every change God wants you to make in your life and humbly ask him to remove your shortcomings. Here's a great promise that I want to make sure that I drive this point home. God is waiting to turn your weaknesses into strengths. God is waiting to turn your weaknesses into strengths. All you need to do is humbly ask. Humbly ask and believe. I've been giving out recently some stickers that are I Believe stickers. And many of us in the early stages of recovery have some doubts and concerns that God may not love us enough. Well, these I Believe stickers can go on your steering wheel, your bathroom mirror, your refrigerator, and remind you to say, I believe. I believe. And as I launched into this broadcast, I started out with the words, but God. But God. And as we've gone through step 7 and in the scriptures and you know, many of you are hearing some of this for the first time, the question really becomes, how can you have victory over your defects of character? How can you have victory over your defects of character? As we go through the recovery process, particularly as we submit to every change that God wants to make in our lives, we've probably found enough pain inside ourselves and those around us that break our heart. Facing the fact that brokenness is part of the human condition can be crushing. But if we've arrived at this point, it's probably a sign that we're ready for God to change us. Even King David wasn't ready for God to change his character when he was a young man because he didn't recognize he had defects. He would pray, "Don't let me suffer the fate of sinners. I'm not like that. I do what is right. Save me." It wasn't until later in his life when he was confronted by his sins of adultery and murder that he was able to cry out to God seeking forgiveness. A broken and repentant heart and admitting your brokenness and seeking humility, that's when changes come about. To make changes in my life, all I had to do is be entirely ready for God to be a life changer. We're not the how and when committee. We're the preparation committee. All we have to do is be ready. Jesus is asking you, do you want to be healed? Do you want to change? You must choose to change. That's what step 7 is all about. So as I prepare to close this out in prayer, I just want to remind you that my personal website is actually randymortensen.com. That's Randy Mortensen, MORTENSEN.com. And on there, there's actually a downloadable ebook that will help you to overcome some of the fear of seeking recovery. And I can send that to you if you text CHAMPION to 66866, CHAMPION to 66866. Or if you just want more information about one of my Lifestyle Champion programs, please go ahead and text CHAMPION to 66866 or go to my website. I will mention that there is a Lifestyle Champion weekend for men being held in the Orlando area the first weekend in February of 2022. It's February 4th, 5th, and 6th. If you would like more information on that event, please just go to lifestylechampion.org. That's lifestylechampion.org. And if you know someone who's struggling today, or maybe you're that person who's battling a compulsive and destructive behavior, please don't wait another day to seek help. You can reach out to me at my office. That number is 321-757-HOPE, 321-757-HOPE, or call someone you know and trust. Because the people that are dying today are husbands, wives, sons, and daughters of someone who loves them. Today's the day. And please don't wait another day. I hope this information you found to be helpful today. You can look for the replays of this to be available on all the usual podcast online outlets. And guys and gals, I just want you to close your eyes and join in this prayer with me. Dear God, show me your will in working on my shortcomings. Help me to resist the changes that you have planned for me. I need you to direct my steps. Help me stay in today, not get dragged back into the past or lost in the future. I ask you to give me the power and the wisdom to make the very best I can out of today. In Christ's name I pray. And all God's people said, Amen.